Do you hear that? It's the sound of TD Ameritrade's Education Center working smoothly behind the scenes to curate its own content to your investment goals and interests. Head over to tdameritrade.com/education to start learning. Member SIPC.
Here's your money briefing for Monday, April 26th. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal. Chances are you've heard that stock markets are at record highs. Maybe you've been hearing people talk about their stock picks on Robinhood or one of the other new trading apps, and you've thought, maybe I should get in on the action. But how? There's more to it than what you see on social media.
One of the things that a lot of financial advisors see when they're looking at this sort of Robinhood crowd is that there tends to be a lot of trend chasing, a lot of investors sort of grabbing onto hot stocks of the moment that are really talked about. But what I think more long-term investors really like to see is that people sort of consider a much broader basket of stocks.
It's investing week on your money briefing. All this week, we'll be covering the ins and outs of different kinds of investments, the benefits and the pitfalls. Today, our markets reporter Akani Otani will break down the basics of stocks. That's after the break. You probably know that buying a stock lets you own a little piece of a company, but after that, maybe things get tricky. People throw around buzzwords like growth stocks or value stocks, stocks that pay dividends. Maybe you've heard about ETFs. There's a lot to know. We're going to break it all down for you with our markets reporter, Akani Otani. Akani, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So Akani, you cover the stock market extensively. What are the most common questions that you get asked about investing in stocks?
A lot of times it's just when we see something really running up a lot in the markets, whether it's GameStop from a couple months ago or something like Tesla or Facebook that's always sort of hot and talked about. A lot of times it's people just asking, should I buy this stock? And they're kind of joking because they know as a reporter, I'm not allowed to give financial advice. But I think the question really just points to, you know, when people see something being talked about a lot and written about a lot in the news, there's this tendency to think like I'm missing out if I'm not invested in this, or maybe I already missed out because I'm not invested in this.
Yeah, with so much chatter online about certain stocks, it's got to be tempting to jump on the bandwagon. So what do stock market veterans say about that?
The thing that I hear a lot of financial advisors talk about is that they really recommend not just thinking about stock selection, so picking one or two stocks that you're interested in, but really thinking of a broader, more diversified portfolio. So one of the things that a lot of financial advisors see when they're looking at this sort of Robinhood crowd is that there tends to be a lot of trend chasing, a lot of investors sort of grabbing onto hot stocks of the moment that are really talked about. But what I think more long-term investors really like to see is that people sort of consider a much broader basket of stocks. So maybe instead of picking one or two companies that you're interested in, maybe you might consider a couple hundred companies via an exchange-traded fund or a mutual fund.
And we'll be talking about those in a bit, but let's first get into some basics, like how stocks even work. Everybody knows that stock prices go up and down, but why really? What kinds of factors cause a stock price to rise or fall?
There's really so many different factors. You know, one of them, I think it's pretty obvious, is the corporate earnings reports that come out every quarter. Usually, investors like to invest in things that they think have the potential to grow a lot and to do better in the future than they're doing right now. So earnings reports released quarter by quarter give investors a good picture of how a company is doing and also what a company is forecasting for its future. So typically after an earnings report comes out, we tend to see quite big swings in certain share prices. And even just in the conference call that will follow an earnings report, where we'll see the executives of the company taking questions from reporters and analysts, that's when we'll see a lot of stock price moves as well. And then, of course, in between earnings reports, any sort of news that affects or potentially affects a company's bottom line, whether we're talking about a change in leadership, some kind of corporate scandal, run-in with regulators, or news of a new deal or partnership between two different companies, all of those things can cause stock prices to rise or fall as well.
At the same time, we've heard examples of certain companies' stock prices like GameStop or AMC skyrocketing, even though there wasn't a lot of news about the company.
That's right. And I think that points to just how difficult it can be to predict where a stock is going. Because even when you think you know everything there is to know about a company, whether it's its earnings reports or how it's valued or what kind of earnings it's expected to report in the future, there are always extraneous factors in the market that can influence where a stock is going. And in the case of GameStop, we definitely saw that, you know, that was a case where social media really had a lot to do with its move upward. We were hearing from a lot of retail investors at the time that they were invested in the stock not because they felt like GameStop had some kind of, you know, industry-winning strategy that it was planning to roll out, or, you know, some kind of big turnaround plan, but because they were seeing it really just go up so much, and they thought, oh, this is kind of fun. So it's not always the case that, you know, things like earnings or hard news drives the stock's movement. Especially these days, we can see social media can play a really big role in it as well.
Now, of course, not all stocks are the same, but are there different types of stocks, different categories that new investors should know about?
One broad characterization of stocks is whether they're growth or value. And that's something that investors tend to have very strong opinions about. And growth stocks tend to be things that grow faster than average. And they tend to be companies these days, especially in the technology sector. A lot of their profits, they tend to reinvest into themselves. So whether that's in research or development, that tends to be their focus as far as cash flow. And in recent years, these types of stocks have been pretty highly valued. So think of things like Tesla, Facebook, and Amazon. And then on the other hand, you have value stocks, which are kind of the opposite. They tend to be more sort of old school, things like banks, utilities, oil producers, consumer staples companies. They're things that tend to grow at a slower pace, but have a sort of steadier business. And in bad economic times, investors tend to think of these stocks as being the type of things that hold up pretty well, just because they have sort of more of a stable business. And they also tend to pay out dividends at a greater rate than growth stocks.
Well, let's talk about dividends. Can you break down what they are and what they mean for investors?
Dividends are basically payouts that companies will give to investors, and typically it'll be a quarter by quarter basis. So once they've wrapped up the quarter and they know how their sales have come in and what their bottom line looks like, they can pay out dividends to their investors who hold the shares. And the payout for the dividends depends from company to company. You know, some companies are known for giving out very heavy dividend payouts and for increasing dividend payouts year after year. They tend to be called dividend aristocrats. And then other companies have less of a focus on their dividend payouts. But that is a sort of another debate, I think, within the investing world, whether or not it's worth focusing your investments in companies that return dividends. Because while a dividend payout is a sort of very attractive proposition from the standpoint of someone wanting to get some kind of return on a quarter by quarter basis, there is an argument to be made by some investors that companies are actually better served over the long term putting their money back into themselves, into research and development. And so that's sort of another, I think, debate that you'll often see here in the investing world, whether dividend paying companies are of better use to investors than more sort of growth focused companies that tend not to pay out these dividends.
Got it. And, you know, there are a lot of other ways of getting into stocks than buying just stocks directly. We hear a lot about ETFs, and you mentioned them a minute ago. What are they, and how are they different from holding a stock yourself?
So an ETF is an exchange-traded fund, and essentially it allows the investor to hold on to more than just one thing at a time. Instead, you're buying a basket full of things. So you could buy an ETF focused on tech stocks, and it might have 50 different tech stocks in it. Or you could buy an ETF that tracks an entire stock index, like the S&P 500. That's very common. And so that's very different from an approach where you're buying single stocks. You know, you go out and buy one stock of Facebook, one share of Amazon. Instead, you might buy a basket full of Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Alphabet all together. So one downside to these ETFs is that, you know, unlike holding an individual stock, you don't have that kind of flexibility necessarily on a day-to-day basis, because what you're holding on to is an entire basket that tracks the broader market. But on the other hand, a lot of financial advisors do like to sort of recommend mutual funds and ETFs to novice investors because it diversifies their holdings, because you're buying into something that has many things in it. And so that means you're sort of playing a less risky game than putting all your eggs into one stock or two stocks.
And one of the other big considerations for potential new investors is how their stock trading is taxed. We've spoken with people who really got burned because they really didn't understand the rules. People don't seem to know how close Uncle Sam is with his handout.
I think a lot of investors don't think about this necessarily. The bottom line is that when you sell a stock or, you know, any other financial asset, you make a profit, you are supposed to owe taxes on that profit. And how much you owe depends on how long you held the stock for. So the biggest distinction that the government makes is between short-term capital gains and long-term capital gains. The distinction is short-term capital gains are things that you've held for 1 year or less. And then long-term capital gains are things that you've held for more than a year. And typically, because of the way that the tax system works, if you sell something within a year, you are taxed at a higher rate than if you sell something over a longer period of time. So that's definitely one thing that I think a lot of investors should be thinking about when they're considering buying a stock or getting into something for the first time. It's not really the case that you can necessarily make a quick and easy profit, because you do have tax considerations to think about.
So for people who want to get into the market, or even for novices who've used the new crop of online trading platforms, what resources are available out there?
Well, I'm biased, but I would say the Wall Street Journal is a fantastic place to start reading. But of course, you know, there's a wealth of resources online, ranging from news sites to even the content that brokerages are now putting out with advice and even sort of glossaries and explainers on different things in the markets, whether you're wondering about capital gains taxes or stylistic differences in investing or brokerage accounts and how they differ from one another. And then finally, of course, the financial advisor has always been around. And I think that's another place that investors will often turn to when they're not sure exactly what their retirement goals should be and how their investing projectives and goals can sort of fit into that. So I think there's definitely a variety of online and offline resources, free and paid, that investors have nowadays.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal markets reporter Akani Otani. Akani, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Our guide for new investors continues tomorrow. We'll be moving from stocks to bonds.
Basically, instead of a bank making a loan, a bond allows lots of people around the world potentially to make a little piece of that loan, sort of like how stocks work, where lots of people can own a little piece of a business.
So how do bonds factor into an investment portfolio, and what risks do you need to watch out for? We'll be covering all the basics tomorrow on Your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.